Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And we're talking rookies this week. You know, the Rookie of the Year is a close race this year in the WNBA. And we're talking to several different contenders. And then we're going to wrap this up with Chinne Igwumike last year's Rookie of the Year, talking about this year's group. But let's get it all started with the jewel of the WNBA draft, the number one pick overall, who is off to a good start in Seattle. Jewel Lloyd. Jewel, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Well, now, Jewel, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm afraid that this probably won't be as captivating as a Between Two Birds interview, but we'll do our best, okay?
Sounds good.
So, Jewel, you know, you came out. The first question for you that I have is, has the league been what you expected it would be when you came out?
Definitely. It's been even more than what I expected. And, you know, coming into the league, I definitely wanted to be challenged and I wanted to learn. And exactly the moment I got here, that's exactly what happened. You know, I've been very lucky to be around great veterans and met some great people. And they've been helping me out a lot. So it's exactly what I you know, really wanted to and hope for.
You know, the team is in a state of starting to rebuild around you and Kalina, of course, and there's other young talent, and Sue being the big veteran. Had you lost this many games at any point in your career? I know it's like more than your entire Notre Dame career, but high school and stuff. How difficult has it been to get ready to put that behind you?
Yeah, this is probably the most games I've lost in a while, not including the games I've played with my brother, because that's probably a billion. But, you know, for us, like you said, we're rebuilding, and I'm enjoying the process. And it's great. Our team is really close, and we get along really great, and we're continuing to just, you know, find ourselves. And it's great because we're all doing it together, and I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else but the team.
And there's no question that, you know, you started off, you know, it takes a little while for anybody to adjust to the speed and pace and the size of the players in the league. But Rookie of the Month for July, you know, there's no question, you know, we just saw you in Connecticut when you were here. I saw you in person. And, you know, you definitely are looking confident and looking a lot more like the Jewel Lloyd that we saw tearing people up in college.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, have fun. And it's definitely a transition. I think it's more of a mindset than anything. And definitely, like you said, the speed's different and the physicality is another level. But I think just my mindset has changed over the month.
Now, what have you found to be the most difficult adjustment to the WNBA?
You just really have to understand that every night you have to bring it. There's no off nights. I mean, you have to adjust with the traveling and all that other stuff. But then the biggest thing is the mindset, knowing that you or that I belong here. And to just prove it, not just myself or anyone, just really go out there and compete.
And what have you found adapts most readily to your game? What have you found to be the easiest transition to the WNBA as well?
Definitely transition. You know, I'm one of the youngest people in the league right now, so using my speed, my quickness helps a lot with the way we play as well. But just trying to, you know, use my quickness right now, and obviously the IQ that I've learned over the years, but definitely my young legs.
You know, one of the things that seems a little bit different to me when I've seen is, you're not getting as many shot attempts as you're used to. You've had a few games where you've had double figure shot attempts, but. You know, this is a team that is in need of offense, and it seems, you know, should we be seeing more of, will we be seeing more of Jewel Lloyd's offensive game in the second half of this season?
You know, I think everything kind of comes in time. You know, early on, I'm still trying to figure out where I could score, kind of what's my role in the team. And now it's pretty much the same thing. I read the defense, and my teammates do a great job of setting each other up. So it makes it a lot easier to get good shots and good looks. So I really just kind of just stick with the defense gives me. You know, if that means running transition, I come out ball screens, kind of just whatever is open and whatever, you know, I can really get at this point.
Now, when did it sink in that this is the realization of the goal that you are a WNBA player? When you walked on the court, and you know, was it you know the first time you played against first game of the season? Was it when you played Skylar, Maya Moore? I mean, when did you look around and say, "Wow, this really is it"?
You know, I still don't think it's completely hit me yet because there's still times where I walk out and I'm still, you know, my friends are all saying, "Oh yeah, I'm getting ready for school," and I'm still kind of just, "Oh, we have a game tomorrow," you know. Definitely the first time putting on the jersey, walking out and kind of looking at the fans and seeing your home crowd, that's something that's really surreal. And I never get old. So every time you step on the court, I'm still kind of, you know, looking around and getting a glimpse of everything and taking it all in before the game starts.
Now, those Storm Crazies are one heck of a group of fans, aren't they?
Yeah, we have the best fans.
Now, you know, is it going to bother you? How's it going to feel to you when everybody starts gathering for fall practice and you're getting ready to look at overseas play?
You know, I'm just enjoying the whole process. I'm not rushing. I'm not looking too far ahead. I'm staying in the moment. That's kind of how I've always been. So I'm focused on the path ahead first before I try to add too much on my plate. You know, I just really want to enjoy everything I do.
You know, and now off the court, you wrote the blog where you talked about your dyslexia and trying to be a role model off the court as well as on the court, and I commend you for taking that position. One of the things about the WNBA players that is always so impressive to me, you get people like a Tamika Catchings, for example, that, you know, is so giving and does so much for the outside. That seems like that's something that really is a target for you, something that you really want to do, and you want to do that type of charity, you know, giving back to the community approach as well. You know, could talk for a sec about what that means to you, please.
Yeah, it means a lot to me. You know, basketball is more than just, you know, going out there and practicing and shooting. But for me, it's giving back, and we're on a stage where people look up to you and you get – interact with your fans on social media, and you know, people really, you know, look up to you. So you got to be careful what you do and what you say. And any time that you can give back or be a role model to kids, I really want to do that and kind of help them achieve their goals or help them with any needs. And you know, I think athletes are really have a chance to do that.
And, you know, the last question I want to ask you is, as we are talking about the contenders for the Rookie of the Year award in this podcast, you know, your chief opponents in this race seems to be a Chanwa, your old teammate, Kia Stokes, your old opponent, and De'Erica Hamby, who you played in conference last year. So talk for a sec about the, you know, what do you think of those other rookies and the years that they're having?
Yeah, you know, it's a good race. It's funny that, you know, I'm going against people I played against, the people that I know. But at the end of the day, you know, you just got to get the job done. You got to produce. And like I said, I'm having fun with it. I'm not going to get too caught up in trying to, you know, get 50 shot attempts up or anything like that. I'm going to see and do whatever my team needs to win. And I'm more concerned about us winning as a whole than me just winning that individual goal. But, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the process and, you know, whatever happens.
Well, Jewel, congratulations on what's been a great start so far. You know, you're certainly gathering steam as the season goes on, which you'd expect any rookie to do. And you're feeling good. Everything's healthy. And you haven't hit the wall, have you?
No, not at all.
Well, congratulations. Keep up the good work. The Storm is a top-notch organization to be a part of, and I'm sure that you're really going to enjoy all of your time there and the whole process. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Muffet McGraw, head coach of the University of Notre Dame, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast, and we're talking about the race for the Rookie of the Year in the WNBA, and there's a couple of people that really, really have a good claim to the title at this point, at the midway point, and I'm joined by one of them right now. And that is the Indiana Fever's rookie, Natalie Achonwa. Natalie, welcome to Dishing and Swishing. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Now, first of all, congratulations on what has been a fairly spectacular summer for you. You're having the great rookie year, but especially congratulations on that gold medal.
Thank you very much. It's been definitely a busy summer, especially for my first in the WNBA, but I wouldn't trade any of it, and luckily I've been able to do two things I love, play basketball in general and also represent my country.
Well, you know, coming back at, like you did this year, being a rookie after having to sit out last year with the ACL, how difficult has it been to adapt after a year off to the speed of the league and then also switching in the middle to the international rules and everything else that gets associated with that? To me, that's been very impressive.
Well, thank you. It's had its difficulties, but at the same time, coming back from the ACL, I actually really think it made a difference having the year off. So coming from college where you kind of have everything done for you and then becoming a pro, it's not just about basketball. It's about living on your own, getting everything from your doctor's appointments dealt with to making sure you're in the gym on time because you have to drive from your apartment. So there's a lot more to being a professional athlete than just playing basketball. So having the year off allowed me to transition mentally and emotionally as well as physically to playing in the pros. And so I actually really enjoyed that year to kind of get myself together. And then also it was different because I got to watch the pros and just kind of take in everything that I could with having that year off rather than a week or so after you graduate from college and having to go straight in the pros. I had that time to fully transition. So I really tried to take advantage of that time. And then also with playing with Canada this summer, there's a lot of similarities between international basketball and the style of play in the WNBA. Some of the rules might be different, but there's still that same quickness, same physicality. So it's actually been great to get some games in both levels.
Well, the Canadian national team has certainly picked up its game in the last couple of years. And, you know, people like you and, you know, Kim Goucher and some of the others that have been first in the NCAA ball in this country and then in the pros are certainly setting the groundswell for a future development in Canada. That's got to feel pretty cool seeing the growth of the sport that you love so much in your home country.
Most definitely. Canada basketball has been on the rise on both the women's and the men's level. Just as a whole organization, we've done really well over the last couple of years and continuing to go forward. We have a great balance between young players like people that are still in college, like Kia Nurse and Merrifield, and then we have our older players that are in their 30s and that have that experience of playing international basketball and basketball at all levels. So we have a great balance and we'll continue to grow going forward, which is really exciting for our country.
So let's talk a little bit about the Fever and what's been going on this year. It's definitely been a bit of a strange season for the team. You know, Lynn retired after so many years and Steph has been there, of course, but now is the first year at the helm. You know, you're transitioning into a mixed team of young and old. You got Catch there, but then you come in and they added Shanice Johnson. You know, the team has definitely been a team that now seems to be finally getting on the same page.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, we started off with some growing pains, but transitioning into a different era in the Coach White era took a little bit of time, but it's great basketball. It's fun basketball. It's shared basketball, so we make sure that we get up and down the court and that we do share the basketball and play team basketball. So it's been we've had our ups and downs, but we're really coming together now and the flow of it and having the leadership in players like Cash, who's been there forever, and Brand January as well, have really focused on keeping us together to ride the highs and lows.
One of my favorite players to watch in the league, I always love when people bang inside, that's one of my favorite things, is Elena Larkins. And, you know, she has got to be a great tutor just playing against her in practice. Now, she's also had some injury problems, but she's back on the court now as well. So talk for a sec about what it's like watching her work and the effort that she puts into improving her game.
Definitely, you can see it every day in practice on how hard she goes. And even with the injury, for the moments or the periods that she's in, if she's only doing a couple of drills in practice, she's committed to going hard for those 5 minutes or whatever she's in. And it's been great to be able to learn beside her and with her and under her as well, on just making sure that you're being focused and playing hard in no matter how long that you get on the court. And unfortunately, she has been struggling with her knee injury as well, but it's great to see her back and really showing the ropes for me as a rookie coming in.
So now you've come in, you're playing just under 20 minutes a game, scoring about 9 points a game and pulling down a bunch of rebounds. Is this what you expected? Did you expect to be able to have the type of impact that you have had this year?
Well, at first I wasn't really sure how I was going to impact the team. It was always a goal of mine and to be Rookie of the Year. So no matter what, coming in, I knew that I wanted to contribute any way that I could. So whether it was taking charges on defense, whether it was just communicating on the bench, I wanted to focus on doing that the best I could. And so far this year, it has been in contributing in a couple points here and there, a couple rebounds here and there. So I didn't really set expectations on how I was going to contribute. I just knew that a goal was Rookie of the Year, so whatever I was going to do it, I was going to try to do it as hard and as best as I could, and that has come so far. And continuing forward, after I come back from Canada, I'm just going to continue to focus on my goal of Rookie of the Year for the last month.
Now, how long do you anticipate missing for FIBA Americas, assuming that you go all the way?
On the 3 games.
That's not too bad at all.
No.
All right. So now there is one stat that I think you've got to be leading the league in that I got to ask you about, and that is drawing flagrant fouls. Haven't you already drawn flagrants from like 3 or 4 different centers now?
Yeah, I have a couple so far this year.
You know, that's one of the things that makes you so much fun to watch is you do have that ability to do the things that antagonize your opponents. And that is something as a post that you have to have. You've got to have that little bit of a nastiness streak to you on the court.
Yeah, we joke about it how I'm leading in elbows to the face. And I don't want to get elbowed in the head, I'm just trying to play hard and do what I can to contribute with my team. So if that leads to having a center off the court, then so be it. But no matter what the time that I'm in, I'm going to go hard. And unfortunately for me, it currently leads to elbows in the head. But I know whatever I can do to kind of bring that grit to the team is what I'm going to do.
You know, back in his day, you know, Barry Bonds used to wear like full body armor when he would step up to bat because everybody was going to throw at him. They're going to put you in a football helmet, I think.
No, I might need to start maybe get a little headgear going.
So what do you think of your friend Jewel and what she's doing so far out in Seattle? One of your chief rivals for the Rookie of the Year award.
Oh, I'm really excited and really happy for her. I know she was having a little difficulty at the beginning of the season, but to see her start playing the basketball that I know she can, just is really a joy to watch. And I think the league's not really ready for the full, complete Jewel Lloyd, so I'm really happy that she's starting to come into her own and find her place in Seattle.
You know, one question that I had, and I don't know if there's an answer or not, but you're the perfect person to ask. Now, for years, Notre Dame has had great programs and been very, very successful. But there wasn't a lot of pros that came out. Now, lately, though, in the last few years, you know, you and Kayla and Skylar and Jewel and, you know, the list keeps growing. What's different has she changed any of her styles? You know, what seems to be different that you guys are getting far more success now in the pros than even though the team was successful on a college level, you know, the players were less successful as pros?
Yeah, a lot of it changed when Skylar came in. I came in about a year after Skylar, and it was just a different vibe. Even just coming in when I was coming on visits and before Sky was there, she's a very competitive person. And from there, it just seemed like that competitive spark just was in every player after that. And I'm not sure if Coach McGraw decided to look for something a little bit different in a player or what. I can't speak on why, but I definitely saw that we had a different flair starting with Skylar and then Devereaux Peters and Natalie Novosel, and also in that class as well, or the class before her. And then you got my class with me and Kayla and then and Jewel, and there's a competitive punch in all of us that you could see it when we used to battle. All of us, that whole group that's in the pros now, we would battle day in and day out in practice. So there's that competitive edge that might have been a little bit different from these last about 5 years than previously. But I know that's something that the players that are Notre Dame players that play in the pros now, that's something that we all share is that competitive fire.
Well, that's a pretty cool stat that Chris Masters posted yesterday on Twitter, that you and Jewel are the first back-to-back two rookies from one school to win rookie of the month. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was. It was nice to see that that we could have success from going from a college program, going from the same college program to the pros. So it's, if I'd had to compete with anybody else, I would love that. It gets to be one of my closest friends.
Well, Natalie, I want to thank you. You know, I know it's game day. Thanks for taking some time with us today. And now this is the last one before you head out, so good luck in FIBA Americas, too. It would be nice to see Canada win both tournaments this year.
Most definitely, and qualify for the Olympics, too. This is the big one. This is the one that we've been working all summer in the past couple of years for. So it's definitely, we want to get a win tonight with the Fever in Chicago and then on to getting the win with Canada basketball.
Well, congratulations again. It's been a great start and a very bright future. You know, I guess congratulations. I mean, I am here in Connecticut and cover the sun. So, we take it with a grain of salt. You're in a great place. I love the Indiana Fever players and coaching staff, and the management is great there. And I think that only things are going to get better for you and the team as you fight for a playoff spot.
Most definitely. We will continue to fight.
Take care and good luck.
Thanks for having me.
This is Dan Hughes of San Antonio Silver Stars, and you are listening to Dishin' and Swishin' and enjoying every minute of it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Dishin' and Swishin'. This is your host, David Siegel, and we're talking about the Rookie of the Year candidates in the WNBA this year. And I'm pleased to have one of them right now on the air, a person who I think is one of the strongest candidates, especially now that she appears to be getting healthy again and getting back on the court, and that's the San Antonio Stars, De'Erica Hamby. De'Erica, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, David.
It's my pleasure. So first, let's talk about the injury. Have you had any injuries where you've missed several games in your career? I mean, I don't know about in the past how you've handled injuries or if you've just had those little nicks and bruises.
I've never had an injury before. So, I've had aches and stuff, but it's never caused me to miss games. And so this is the first. It's pretty heartbreaking, so I'm just glad to be back healthy and to be getting on the court tonight.
Well, you know, and then on top of that, you know, Danielle Adams gets suspended for a few games, and, you know, the Stars certainly needed your position filled, and to lose both of you at that time, I'm sure, was not something Dan Hughes was happy about, but what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely short at the power forward position, but we have another rookie now, Balu, and she normally plays the three, but she had to play some four for us, and she's been very open-minded to that and helping us out. So, she's coming along as well, and me and Daniel are both back tonight, so that should help Sophia and Jane out as well.
Okay. So now, overall, you stepped in San Antonio, but I want to go back a little bit, first of all. You were one of the players that was definitely impacted by Jewel Lloyd and Amanda Zowie coming out. A lot of people had you projected even as high as number one, but definitely people thought you were going to go higher, and you slid a little bit to San Antonio. Talk a little bit about what it's been like in San Antonio and getting used to what goes on down there versus being on the East Coast down in the Carolina region where you're so familiar?
The main difference is I'm not around my family. And, I mean, my mom and my other family members are really big about getting to see me play. I don't think my mom missed maybe a total of 10 games. So that was a big adjustment for me. But I'm grateful to be in San Antonio. I know I'm really wanted there. And Coach Hughes made that clear. It's our first phone call before the draft. And so I'm very fortunate that I asked to slide to San Antonio. I've been put in a really good situation. So.
Well, you are one of the few rookies that has stepped in, and you know, you were thrown right into the fire. You started from day one. That, I'm sure, was a surprise, getting inserted into the starting lineup right off the bat.
I mean, it was a little bit more so just for me being a rookie. I mean, I thought I worked really hard in the preseason, so I think it was deserving. But the fact that they also saw it that way, I mean, it was kind of caught me by surprise. And, I mean, he kind of told me, he was like, we're going to start you, and are you okay with that? And I said, yeah, I'll be okay with that. I mean, I haven't really had the experience coming off the bench, so right now that's a different role change for me. But it's also been able to help me learn a little bit and be able to observe the game before I go in and hopefully help put me in better situations.
That's one of the things that people have talked about, and it was one of the things that Natalie Achanwa talked about in regarding to missing the entire season that you did last year, is that sometimes when you sit down and sit and you watch the game and you can't play, you see things differently. After a couple of games of having to do that, you know, do you see a couple things that, you know, maybe you said, oh, you know, I when you're on the court, you didn't see that?
Yeah, I'm talking about that in my blog. It's just like certain things that you take for granted that you don't really realize. And I mean, right before the All-Star break, I did come off the bench one game because Coach said he wanted for me to have a little bit of a different perspective. And I mean, it was kind of eye-opening to me because I hadn't been playing to like my capabilities previous few games, so he was just like, we're going to try something different for a game. It might not be permanent, but let's just see how it works for you. And then I got in the game and I had a really good productive 8 minutes before going down. And I don't know, it's just when you come off the bench or when you are off the bench, you kind of have more of a sense of urgency for things because you feel like you have to fight for it, I guess. And I had always had that experiences or learning curves, always have to fight for something, so it's helped me, and I mean, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Well, although we got to talk to Dan here because, you know, you start, you're healthy, you come off the bench, you get hurt. I mean, one day, I mean, this just clearly isn't working. You know? So.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that also people have to adjust to when you're a rookie coming in is you were the go-to person at Wake Forest. You led the conference in scoring and rebounding. You know, and now you come in here and you've got all-stars and, you know, Kayla and Danielle and Sophia, of course, is a former all-star that's playing, starting to get better and better and healthier and healthier. So how difficult was it to adjust to filling roles and doing the other things that are needed, not just being the go-to person all the time?
Well, with our team, we don't have a true superstar. I mean, one game I could really score, the next game Dale Adams, the next game Dale Robinson. And so it kind of fluctuates. I mean, our team, we have a few players that are averaging double digits. So we don't really necessarily have a go-to player. It's really just who's hot that game. And if it's me, it's me. I get the ball if I'm hot and Coach wants me to get the ball. But, I mean, overall, he just told me to be aggressive and when I do get the ball, to look to score. And so it's more so sometimes me, like, not wanting to be, like, I don't know, I guess the rookie stepping on toes. So sometimes I do refrain from shooting the ball like I like. But and my teammates are pretty helpful, too. They encourage, especially Sophia, she encourages me to shoot the ball and be aggressive. So.
Now, what is it that you have found to be exactly what you did expect in the WNBA? And what has surprised you when you've been out there?
I mean, early on in the season, I thought I was really successful at scoring. And then just the second time you play teams, they learn your defense. I mean, they learn your tactics and what you're good at and your moves. And so, I mean, that's been an adjustment for me because normally I've been able to just use my athleticism and, my skill set overall just to score over people. And so this, it's been a little tougher. Some games I'll go 2-for-11 and some games I'll go 10-for-11. And so that's kind of an adjustment for me. And, I mean, I expected that. I mean, Coach told me that early on in the season I'd be up and down, but towards the end of the season it should all smooth out for me and I'll be playing some of my best basketball of my rookie year. So hopefully that pans out. I mean, the season's almost over. We have about 13 games left. So,
now,
hopefully we'll see some of my best basketball.
Well, you've been leading the team over the course of the season. You're leading the team in rebounding. You're leading the team in offensive rebounds as well. So you're crashing the boards hard. Those are the things that I know that Dan loves.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always looking for that kind of player. So, you know, that's certainly something that I'm sure endears him to you. But, you know, Danielle Robinson is one of the quickest point guards in the league, one of the fastest players with the ball in her hands. And Kayla fills a wing great. So, you know, you got to be loving getting out there and running with that kind of group.
Yeah, when we get the ball out, and I'm usually the person down the floor, it's just a matter of getting the ball up and looking up. I mean, some games it's there, some teams. I mean, I'm sure that's on the people scouting report as well, that I'm the person down the floor so to match it. But sometimes we get it and sometimes we don't, but I'm definitely running and I'm there. So.
You guys open the season with Phoenix, and right away you get thrown into a game you're up against Candace Dupree, DeWanna Bonner, and the defending champions. So, you know, that had to be – what was your first thoughts when you walked down the court starting against that group?
I was a little nervous. I admire Candace Dupree's game. I mean, I think we're a little bit similar in certain ways of our game. And so I was kind of like, oh, man, like, my first game of the season, I get to guard her. So I was kind of anxious and excited at the same time. And I could feel myself playing that way the first half. And shots that I normally make weren't going in. And then, I mean, the second half, I came out the same intensity, but things were going falling for me. I kind of loosened up. So at that point, it didn't really matter who I was playing. I felt good, and things were going down. So.
Now, you've played Phoenix 3 times already this year. Now, did you play BG yet?
Yeah, I had to guard her.
That was going to be my next question. I said, was it a little bit different
when
it was on the court?
Yeah, when Jane went down, I moved to the 5, and we had a kind of a bigger lineup. No, we had a smaller lineup, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
so
I
was
going to say, that doesn't sound bigger to me.
A smaller lineup, so I had to guard BG, and I mean, she's good. She's big, and she finished well against us. So.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that, as they say, everything is a learning experience, right?
Yeah, Coach told me the same thing. For me, on the offensive end, she was blocking my shot. I've never played anybody about size and caliber. So just after a game, he was just like, now you know. Like, you played her once, and the next time, like, things will be better for you. So, I mean, he just, every game, I mean, we talk after, and if it's a bad game, he kind of just says, like, they're learning experiences. Like, you can't, like, hold your head. Like, I mean, we know you're good. That's why you're playing. So keep being aggressive and keep attacking.
Yeah, and then now Minnesota goes out and adds Sylvia Fowles into there. So next week you get your first chance at trying to drive against Big Sil and see what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I haven't really watched her play. So I'll watch some film and see what works and what doesn't work, and hopefully it works out in my favor.
Now, is Korea on the offset? Is that what I saw? You were drafted by the Korean Basketball League? That's
going to
be
Yeah, I'm going to KB Stars. I think it's in Cheonju. I don't know how to actually say it, but Cheonju, South Korea. So
excited?
Yeah. That's a little bit of everything. Excited, nervous, anxious. I think once I get over there, then I'll kind of settle in and I'll relax a little bit. But I've been out of the country I've been to like islands and stuff, but I've never been to another country. So. My first one being South Korea by myself.
Well, sounds like mom better be saving her frequent flyer miles vacation.
Yeah. I mean, well, she's okay with that, and she knows. So my family's going to come for 2 weeks in December, and it's a short season.
Is it?
Yeah, it's only 5 months.
Only? Okay.
Well, that's the bright side of it. I mean, it's only 5 months of a year, and then a lot of other people are playing 7 to 9 months. So
that is very
true.
I'm
okay with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's tough. It certainly is tough. The hard part is going to be getting used to you going straight from this season, this past college season, to this season, to that season, without that break in between.
Yeah, well, the good thing is after 2 years, I'll have a good break for WNBA starts up. So
sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, Derek, I want to congratulate you on being off to a great start this year. We're halfway in. Glad to hear that this injury isn't keeping you any longer off the court, and that we'll look forward to seeing you play again. And last question, what do you think of your counterparts for the Rookie of the Year award? What do you think of Achanwan Lloyd and what they're doing out there?
I mean, I think they're doing good things as well. They're having up and down seasons just as I am, but I guess whoever pans out the second half of the season, it'll come down to Jewel. I mean, I'm happy for her. She struggled a little bit in the beginning, but she seems to be finding her rhythm, and she's playing really well right now. She got Rookie of the Month, so that was deserving as well. And they're playing well, so let's get to them and their team.
Good. Erica, congratulations, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Teresa Teaspoon Weatherspoon, and you're listening to Dishing and Swishing.
Well, as we talk about the WNBA candidates for Rookie of the Year, perhaps the one that people weren't sure about at the start of the season but has certainly played herself into contention is Kia Stokes of the New York Liberty, who I'm pleased to have for the first time on Dishing and Swishing. Kia, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, Kia, you know, it's funny. I was looking at something that was really interesting. I was looking up UConn draft choices. And from 2009 on, every single player selected from UConn is in the WNBA, and almost all of them have, like, some heavy-duty minutes in their rotation. So, you know, you had to expect coming out of school that there was a possibility that this could happen.
I was looking forward to the opportunity. I wasn't sure where I was going to get picked up, but I'm very fortunate to go first round, and I think I got the perfect team for me. Coach Van Beer has a lot of confidence in me already as a rookie, which he stated many times to me personally, which is great. But I just got the great opportunity, and I'm ready to, you know, get the rest of the season, and hopefully we can kind of stay in the top spot in the East, but it's definitely going to be tough.
Well, you know, you really have had quite a 2015 between the championships and the awards and the number one draft choice, the records. And now here you sit, you know, you're one of the top shot blockers in all of the WNBA, clearly the top amongst rookies and one of the top rebounder amongst rookies as well. When you came in, you know, did you anticipate that the league would be able to, you would be able to translate your defense this well? Or did you think it would be a little bit more of a struggle?
I thought it was. I mean, it's really tough. I've had to work on it a lot, but it's definitely as tough as I thought it would be. But I'm glad how I'm playing personally right now on the defensive end. Obviously, defense is one of my strongest parts of my game, so I want to make sure I continue to work on that and to bring that every day at practice and in the games to my team, because I've heard in the past and, you know, from the games last year that they struggled defensively. So if I can kind of make an impact, that's what I want to do. And Coach Van Beer said that to me personally. Just make sure you play your defense and play how you know how to play, and then we'll work on the offensive part.
Now, you're playing in Husky Central there with you know, Tina and Swin on that team. And, you know, then, of course, mm-hmm. Piff was a great opponent for as long as she was at Rutgers. So yeah. The familiarity there must have helped smooth the transition a little bit.
Yeah, it helped a lot. Tina especially, she came in and was like, all right, I'm going to take one of my wings, kind of like what Aiden Jones did for me. So that was kind of nice to hear. And she's always got my back, you know, in practice. She'll say, that was a great move, you know, just got to finish it. Or she'll give me the post up harder and, you know, finish strong, you know. So she's always there for me, and she's got my back. So I'm glad to have her around. And as far as Swin goes, you know, Swin is Swin. She's a great leader, a great role model. And I'm really glad that I get to play this year with her, because obviously you don't know what's going to happen next year, if she's going to retire or not, because she is one of the older ones in our league, so you never know, but I'm glad I get this opportunity.
Now, what have you found to be the most difficult adjustment so far? You know, people talk about the speed, the physicality, the strength of the other players. You know, what's been the biggest adjustment for you so far?
The biggest adjustment is definitely the speed and the size and the strength, you know. I'm used to being one of the biggest people on the court, so now when I come in, I'm going against 6'5 and 6'6 and girls that weigh, you know, 30 pounds more than me. So it's definitely tough. And, you know, it's one thing you just got to get used to it and play through it. And it took me a few times to get used to it, but I was starting to get the hang of it. But I was trying to do a lot better when I keep working on it.
So, you know, you come in and your very first game, you put up double-double in the preseason. And all of a sudden, everybody's saying that Gino held you back and that Bill is the savior of your offensive game. The truth, I'm sure, is somewhere in the middle there.
No, Coach Emma did not hold me back. As you saw in our new conference, he had a great amount of scores, so I didn't necessarily have to. You know, my role is to be a great defender, and that's what I want to do. I didn't need to be scoring 30 points a game when you have Stewie and Morgan and Kalina, you know, all these people that are great scorers, great shooters. So it's not, I didn't have to take shots because they would take mine and they would make theirs. You know, so they're great offensive people, and I just need to play defense. And Bill just told me he wants to be more of a scorer. So that's just, it just happens to be with what team, what the coach wants and what team you're on. You know, at UConn, I needed to be defense. Here, I kind of need to be a little more of both. So
compare Bill Laimbeer and Gino Auriemma as coaches, other than the fact that there's probably a 2-foot height difference.
They're both tough. They're both very tough. But I thought Coach Laimbeer was going to be more of a yeller based on how I've seen him play in the past. But he's more calm than I thought. And Coach Auriemma definitely gets in your face. He motivates you. She kind of gets you fired up, and Bill kind of just, not only to ask you politely, but he kind of just tells, like, make sure you do this, and that's it. That's kind of the end of it. So I think it's a lot different than Gino at UConn, but, you know, they both have their strengths, and they both have their weaknesses.
Hey, when I watch the games this year, I see Katie Smith on up and yelling at the refs a lot more than I see Bill.
Yeah.
So now you look around the league, and it's been a year where a lot of the rookies have struggled and have gotten a little bit less playing time than some in prior years. But Jewel and Natalie Achanwa and De'Erica Hamby are three others that come up when discussing with Rookie of the Year along with you. So what do you think of the other rookies in your class this year and the adjustments they're making?
I think they're doing great so far. Obviously, Achanwa didn't play last year because of her injury, but I think she definitely came back this year ready to work. She's doing the same thing she did another day, you know, finishing on the rim, rebounding, running hard. And she did great in college, and she's doing great now. And Jewel, you know, she's an athlete. Obviously, we play her a lot also from Notre Dame, but she's doing great. And this past month, she got Rookie of the Month, which is great. She's averaging, I think, 10 points and shooting well. So, you know, it's really exciting to see another rookie, even though she's another Dame, even though another rookie is doing well. And as far as Hamby's going, I haven't seen much of her play, but I've just heard she's doing great. She's one of the major post players, and I know she's rebounding well and working hard. So I think, you know, as far as the rookies, we're all doing our things, but, again, we always can do better. And I know each of our teams need us. So that's something special.
When the Rookie of the Year conversation started at the preseason, did you think that you would be one of the people included in this conversation?
Honestly, I don't know what to expect. I just wanted to make sure I made the team. So during training camp, I was just trying to work hard. And then, you know, Bill in my ear saying, you know, if you just average, you know, 10 and 8, you can get Rookie of the Year. So that was kind of my goal at the beginning. But, you know, obviously I need to get my scoring up. But I just got to make sure I'm doing my defense as well. I think defense definitely comes first because that's how we've been winning games. And then offensively, just keep working at that.
Well, you know, the percentages are certainly up there. I mean, you're not getting that many attempts, but you're certainly making the most of the opportunities. And when you've got Tina playing at the four beside you, and then you've got Carolyn Swords getting minutes as well, and plus, you know, you've got some strong rebounding, and even in people like Tanisha Wright and Essence Carson, mm-hmm. You know, there's no doubt that it's tough to get the shot opportunities with that kind of crew out on the court.
Yeah, it's tough, but, I mean, obviously Tina is our main scorer, so we try to feed her the ball a lot, and the offense kind of flows through her. And we have great guards that are going to take the shot when they have it. So I just have to make sure that I keep ducking in and calling for the ball and taking good shots. You know, I don't need to be taking 12 shots because 8 of them are just throwing the ball up at the rim. So it's one thing you got to kind of know where your role is in the offense and then just take advantage when you get the opportunity.
Two quick last questions. First, you know, do you keep in touch with Kalina? How does she seem to be handling her situation in Seattle?
Yeah, I keep in touch with her. She's one of my best friends, so pause at a time, but obviously it's not going how she wants it to be right now, but, you know, she's staying positive. She knows that it's a long season, and she's got to keep working, and it's hard to practice, and she knows it. She has a positive mindset, and she's just working every day, you know, doing extra workouts, trying to get her cardio all in really good shape, and she's going to stay with it. You know, she's a tough kid, so she'll be fine.
And then, listen, when you did see Seattle on Sunday, you were also there for the Ring of Honor ceremony for Becky Hammon.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted, as a rookie and all that she has done and now being a coach in the NBA, you know, just wanted to know your perspective on you've seen plenty of banners and retirement ceremonies and honors, but this one had to be a little bit different.
This was something incredible. To see how someone, you know, in her position do what she's done, it's incredible. And I think I consider myself a little part of that because she played for New York and now I play for New York, although we really have never crossed paths except we went to dinner one time, which was pretty exciting. I got to ask her a lot of questions. But just to see the start she's made for the league and even in the NBA, it's incredible. And I think she's opening a lot of doors. And I think it only helps our game. And she's just our lead. And she's just an incredible person, an incredible player, and she's going to be great in the NBA, just as good as she was in the WNBA.
Well, Kia, I want to congratulate you again. You know, first place, New York Liberty, Kia Stokes on the roster. All you do is win, Kia. You know, that's, you know, following in the footsteps, you know, that's what Maya does. And, you know, it seems like you may be next in line here, just going out there and doing what it got to take to win. So congratulations on a great start, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
I am. Thank you very much.
You take care, and thanks again for your time.
Yeah,
okay, here's my freestyle flow, dishing and swishing. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Well, that's what you get when you're the rookie of the year. You get to do things like that. So we're here at Mohegan Sun, and we're going to talk to Janae Agumake. Who else is the perfect person to put a rap on this week's podcast about the rookie
of the year?
Oh, I
see the pun. I see what you did there. A rap. Okay. Ball so hard. I see you.
Well, Janae, so the rookie of the year candidates this year aren't as clear-cut as someone that was as beautiful and dominant freestyling as you.
Oh, my Lord.
But we do have Jewel Lloyd, we do have Kia Stokes, De'Erica Hamby, and also Natalia Chunwa have seemed to have taken the lead. Now,
mm-hmm.
You've played against all of these players so far. What do you think of this year's rookie crop?
I think De'Erica came out to a hot start. Obviously, she's very athletic. Got to see her tonight in action, and she's relentless. But then, you know, obviously there was an injury there that hurt her. I love Natalia Chama's game. She's excellent in the pick and roll, and she's become a starter and a great inside presence for Indiana, especially when they're recovering from injuries. And then you have, of course, the number one pick in the draft, Jewel Lloyd, who's dynamic. But it's taken her some time to find her role and figure out what she's really good at. And I think that's running the floor, knocking down open shots, and then creating for others. So you have a diverse group this year, and I think it's anybody's race, quite frankly. You know, anyone who has a bold second half of the season will just, I think, carry voters.
What was it in particular that you found when you entered the league? What was the most difficult thing that you came across as a rookie?
The most difficult thing was the physicality. It's funny, the first time I came to practice, I remember just being attacked in the paint. And I was just like, Coach Steve, because Steve was right there with the post. He said, Coach Steve, isn't that a foul? He's like, no, that's not a foul. Another play. Coach Steve, isn't that a foul? They're backing me in so hard. He's like, welcome to the WNBA, honey. So after that, I knew the game was very physical, and it's an adjustment. But it's also one of those things that if you're a competitor, you love, because the game's nitty and gritty. Feels like real, and it is real basketball. So that was the biggest thing, the hardest thing for me as a rookie.
You know, one of the things that you have in common now, Chunwa missed that out last season. You know, Hamby has missed a few games already this year. You know, watching from the sidelines, how much does that help your game and being able to see some things that maybe you don't see when you're on the court in the flow?
Absolutely. You come back with a quadruple love for the game. You want to be out there. You want to contribute. I think it's a blessing in disguise. You know, for me, it's been a mental year where I've gotten to, like, you know, relax a little bit and figure out what I really want to do. That's professionally on the court and off the court. But at the same time, it's been tough mentally to watch my team. You know, they've succeeded. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wish I was a part of that. But at the same time, you know, if we struggling, you're like, man, I wish I could go out there and help out. So it's tough mentally, but at the same time, I trust in my team and we're building something really special. And I also trust in the process. You know, this is just a little bit, this is just one little chapter in my story.
Well, you know, well, we see that you're already a star of television, you know, so when, you know, next I assume the big screen. And, you know, and then the first rap album?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think they say I'm too big for the camera for, you know, any acting or anything. I'd probably, like, you'd only probably see, like, chest and below. No head and, no headshots for me. But then rapping, I've always loved to rap. You know, I would never put it out of the business. But I definitely think I'm going to stick to putting a ball in a basket for a while.
And that's a wrap on this week's podcast.
Hey, another pun. I see you, swagger.
Jimmy, thanks again. Thank you for listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.